This is Fresh Tracks here on KLCC. I'm Eric Allen, and tonight the Comforters, the husband-wife duo of Jason and Pia Robbins, Eugene residents for a while now, will be holding their CD release party for their new release two-piece orchestra at Sam Bond's Garage. We are blessed to have them live in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. I believe in looking at your bio information that moving to Eugene from Los Angeles not only affected your music, it perhaps even created the Comforters in its current form. Is that true?
It is. Yeah. I mean, we've been playing in LA where we're both born and raised. But time-wise and then also just kind of environment-wise, it never took on sort of a full-time, priority. It didn't in other aspects of our life, but performing with each other and writing and recording, it really took sort of moving up to Eugene around, away from the hustle and the bustle, a little bit slower, a little bit more, comforting, but yeah, a little bit more comforting.
It didn't hurt that there were beautiful trees and it's just serene.
It's pretty inspiring.
Yeah.
Well, it seems to have inspired some real sweet melodic songs that are sometimes acoustic, a little bit electric, sometimes on the folk side, sometimes a little on the pop side. Let's hear a track from the Comforters here live on KLCC.
All right. This one's called The Fall of Fall.
Saw the fall fall and went to one red leaf still hanging on. Felt like blood upon the fallen snow. End of war, the final blow.
The Fall of Fall from the Comforters live here on KLCC's Fresh Tracks. That's the second track on their new release called Two-Piece Orchestra. That was beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Two-Piece Orchestra, as a title, is rather reflective of who you are in a certain sense. You are a two-piece orchestra, and yet the lyrics on that particular track are maybe not quite as literal. How autobiographical are or aren't these pieces?
Depends. I mean, I got to say, they probably... I mean, with the rarest of exceptions, they probably never start off autobiographical and always end up somehow autobiographical,
mm-hmm.
Somewhere in there. And I mean, and sometimes it's sort of, you rewrite, you kind of chip away, and it's sort of, you record it, you for, you don't forget about it, but you set it aside and then you come back to it and you're like, wow, that's what that was about. You know, that, okay, that's kind of what was going on at the
time. There's a little bit of us in every song for sure.
Yeah, the writing process often teaches you things about yourself, but not for years.
Yeah. That's the thing, yeah. So it's like, you know, it doesn't really start off that way. It doesn't start off, this is something important that's happening, you know, in my life right now. Let me write a song about it. It's when you come back and it starts making more sense.
That's very true.
You know.
Well, let's talk about songwriting process for you two for a little bit. Is there any sort of general process that you follow as a duo?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
We start out usually strumming. Jason will strum the guitar, and I tend to hum or sing something over that. A line might come out, an idea might come out. Sometimes a full chorus will come out. And then we start to pick away at that until it sort of takes the shape of a song.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe one of the lyrical ideas will come out, but then we work really hard on lyrics.
As a joint effort, do you start with the lyrics and you both work on them together, or how does the lyricism flow?
Depends. I mean, it's usually, you know, I mean, I think a lot of songwriters do this. It's gibberish for a good long while. It's oohs and ahs and sort of placeholder lyrics.
Because it has to fit the rhythms and the sound.
Yeah, I mean, and it gives you sort of an anchor for it. And then there's something that does hook. And, you know, you might think, well, that lyric's never going to end up in the final song. But it works right there, you know, and so it just popped in my mind.
That'll often lead to an idea, though.
It will, yeah, and there'll be a line that comes out, so sometimes the subject matter for a song will be, you know, there's one line that was just, okay, that's sort of a keeper line, or, you know, we'll do that, and the whole song might get, in one way or another, crafted right around that lyric, and it becomes something that never would have thought while we're
That's true, but we're often, I'd say we're really often inspired by books, movies, other art forms. That'll often come up in our lyrics.
That doesn't surprise me because it's a very literal or literary and literate CD. It's a very eloquent CD lyrically. So it doesn't surprise me to have you find other art forms as inspiration for your music.
Sure.
Thanks.
Why don't we hear another piece?
All right. This one's called Lazy Sundays.
This is from our first album. Sunday morning, hallelujah. Thank God for silent prayer. Thinking, being, mostly just drinking by myself. Ain't this living? Long live lazy Sundays on the porch with the radio real low. Sunday is the world frozen in a pose close to heaven, I suppose. Sunday
on the porch with the radio real low. On the porch with the radio real low. On the porch with the radio.
The Comforters, with a song from the first of their two CDs here live on KLCC's Fresh Tracks. Pia Robbins on the vocals, Jason Robbins on guitar. I want to talk for just a minute about the dynamics of this complicated thing that being a band is, because it's always complicated to be a band. And when you're husband and wife and band at the same time, it's quite the dynamic. So I want to talk about some of the pleasures and the perils of that relationship.
Oh, my.
Not that this is a counseling session, Mike.
Well, there's plenty of pleasure from writing together. You get to do your favorite thing in the world with your favorite person in the world all the time. And so, you know, you don't have to really schedule band practice and work around other people's schedules. The perils are interesting.
Never mind the parents. Lots of laughter. I mean, we laugh a lot when we're making music. That's the thing, is that I think any sort of musical relationship can get, any kind of art, you're dealing with it. And you know, especially when you have people who hear things in their head. Pia hears stuff a certain way, and it's sort of, you know, I hear things a certain way. And luckily, we meet on a lot of stuff. But when you don't, and you really feel like, no, I hear this going this direction. I really strongly feel it going that way. And it's not met with that. It's sort of met with, let's pass on that, you know. So you just laugh. And not getting precious about stuff. You know, being just being able to let go of stuff and then laugh it off. And I will say, every time we've let go of something and you know, either a section of a song or a whole song together or a whole lyrical approach where we change the whole... It's always gotten better.
That's true.
The end result has always been better.
The push and pull is very good.
It's healthy.
Yeah. It is healthy. It stirs the creativity, and it's another great lesson in non-attachment in this world.
Not being too precious about everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, Jason, I know that you are a producer, and you've worked with people from Michelle Shock to Dwight Yoakam and a variety of people. I presume that you are taking the lead in the production of your CDs and guiding that sound forward. Is that correct?
Yes and no. I mean, I think I'd take the recording direction.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think from the initial, like, strumming chords to thinking of developing a song, I mean, I have the end result and sort of the steps laid out in my mind to get there. But like anything, I mean, you can't, it's the rare sort of, I mean, like Todd Rundgren comes to mind. It's the rare person who can produce themselves.
Yes.
Really effectively. The same way, you know, you could have a great editor who then writes a book and they need an editor.
Yes.
You know, it's not the same skill set and it's not the same mindset either. So a lot of that is, you know, Pia's got just impeccable musical ideas and sensibilities. And so... Well, it's true. So, you know, certain things, it really frees, and I think this works both ways. It really frees, say, if I'm doing a guitar part, it really frees me up to just be the guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to think about the big picture. I can just kind of play with ideas and just say, no. Yeah, that's good. Let's develop that. Whereas, you know, if I'm trying to wear both hats, it really gets bogged down fast.
And likewise, vocally or keys, he's just an excellent producer. Taking me in directions that I may not have thought about and pushing me in those directions. So,
I know you worked with a few outside people on this new release, including Kent Coomer, one of the original members of Wilco. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering how you got him involved and why you brought him in particular.
You know, I mean, it was, I wish there was some great story. It's as simple as just picking up the phone.
Yeah.
You know, we had a couple tracks that I had laid down sort of placement drums. And the songs were developing, and the more they got developed, the more sparse they got, the sort of the ebb and flow of the music. There wasn't really sort of a straight beat going. And I was really thinking, like, okay, so I don't think I'm going to do drums on this record at all. So, you know, what kind of drum feel am I looking for? And I was thinking of Wilco's being there. And a lot of that movement in that record where real sparse stuff, but always that sort of movement. And so I was thinking about drummers I knew that could play like that. And then I thought, this is silly. Let's just give him a call and see, you know, send him some songs and say, this is what I want. And he was into it.
And he did an awesome job.
There was some really perfect. Big smiles when we got the songs back and we put them up on the speakers for the first time and just heard those parts in there. He just did a wonderful job.
So his parts were done elsewhere, and the majority of the record was done in your home studio, correct?
Yeah, I mean, everything but the drums was done in our home studio. He's out in Nashville, so he did them out there.
It's great evidence, again, to me, of the beautiful thing that is happening with home studios, because that's an extremely cleanly produced and beautiful record. And, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, making a record like that at home would not have been possible. So.
No, and I mean... You know, it's a whole other debate for another day.
It's such a good time to be making music.
It is. Maybe not such a good time to be selling music, but to be making it is a wonderful time.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah. But tonight, the Comforters will be live at Sam Bond's Garage in Eugene, celebrating their new release out called Two Piece Orchestra. Let's hear one more song, shall we?
All right. This is Upside Down, from the new
Let's
album.
Let's do it.
Upside down, like a bat inside a cave. What a strange way to behave. I'm way down, underground, cut out from the outside world. Spinning round, winding back road, desert front door. That old mail slot never did close. Put my ear to it live. Knows, and now I'm way down, upside down, like a bat inside a cave. What a strange way to behave. I'm way down, underground, cut out from the outside world. Spin round, winding back road, desert front door. That old mail slot never did close. Put my ear to it like a nose, and now I'm way down. Oh, it's the only blue I never knew. Oh, it's the only blue never knew. Oh, it's the only. I'm way down, upside down, like a bat inside a cave. What a strange way to behave. I'm way down, underground, cut out from the outside world. Spin round, I'm way down, way down, I'm way down, way down.
The Comforters live here on KLCC on Fresh Tracks. I'm Eric Allen with Jason and Pia Robbins here in advance of their show tonight at Sam Bond's Garage, celebrating the release of their new CD, Two Piece Orchestra. Tell me about the origins of that particular song. Where did that come from in inspiration?
Oh, that's definitely a Jason song, so I'm going to let you take over on that one. It's a very clever Jason song.
Yeah, I honestly, summertime out by the barbecue, sitting around with a guitar, and it's just one of those happy little summer songs that pops up, and it's sort of, I had that line, I play her timpani for the Boston Symphony, just running around in my head for a bit, and it was like, oh, okay.
Turn that into a song.
Let's craft a song around that one, you know, and it was just kind of that lighthearted, no frills mm-hmm. song that just kind of lent itself to that. And, you know, especially with something that could be, you know, so prone to being so, pretentious, like two-piece orchestra, you know, don't mind if I do, you know. but not being serious about it.
Yeah.
Is there anything in particular you want listeners to experience with your music, either live or with the record? Is there any particular feeling that you wish to communicate or just what happens to come out?
I don't want to sound grandiose, but that I think a lot of our favorite records and a lot of our favorite artists are ones that you could just keep coming back to. I mean, they might not necessarily, or they might hit you over the head the first listen. They might not. They might be like those sort of slow burners, slow growers, but they say something to you at different times and you can keep coming back to them, and they're still like, the songs hold up. It's not like, oh, that was a great song when I was, 21 and that was, that was great then. You know, you can come back to them at different points. That's what I hope the songs would be.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Agreed.
Is there anything else you want to communicate to our listeners before we head on down the road musically here?
No, I do want to thank you. I just really appreciate having us in.
We had a lovely time.
Really nice. Appreciate it, Eric.
It's great to have you here. The Comforters live tonight at Sam Bond's Garage, celebrating the release of Two Piece Orchestra.